We have on the line now Dr. Avesh Nagpal, Sanford infectious disease specialist. Someday we might have to meet you in person, Dr. Nagpal.
Yeah, absolutely, as soon as social distancing is over.
Deal. We've talked to you so many times, but in this realm of COVID-19, we wanted to bring up the fact that there's been a lot of news stories circulating. And in fact, in my own personal life, I know of someone who was diagnosed with COVID-19 and has reappeared again. In some cases, they're detailing even up to 4 months after being diagnosed that they're getting another positive test and are fighting with symptoms again. What do you know about COVID-19 reappearing?
Yeah, so excellent question. So, what we use is the diagnostic test, the PCR, and it's a very, very sensitive test for detection of the virus genome. So what happens is it's a diagnostic test. It's got a very high accuracy and a very high detection rate because it can detect the smallest amount of viral genome, the RNA. And what happens is after you recover from the infection, you continue to shed parts of the virus. So not the intact infectious virus, but the degraded virus, which may be in the form of just the virus core or just the virus genome or partially digested virus. But the test is so sensitive and it detects the specific portion of the genome if that part of the genome is not completely digested and the target for detection is still a little bit intact, even though the virus is dead, the test will continue to remain positive. And that's the reason we are moving away from using that test as a test of cure, because even in our anecdotal experience, we have seen that the test can remain positive for a long period of time, and that usually does not mean that you have persistent COVID infection or relapsing COVID infection. What we think is that the test is detecting degraded virus, which is just being shed out of your body because you have recovered. Now, people who get symptoms again may be attributed to a different infection, maybe a superimposed bacteria or another viral infection, but typically not COVID. So understanding that science behind it over the last few weeks, we have moved away from doing a test of cure, and how we are telling the patients that they have recovered is if it's been 10 days since their symptoms started and it's been 3 days since their fever resolved and their respiratory symptoms are improved, then in all likelihood, they are not infectious anymore.
Dr. Nagpal, at this point, what do we know about the recovery period of COVID-19? Are we just more or less learning as if people say, gosh, the cough persists, or if people are having trouble even with some respiratory issues going on? Or do we have a good idea of what the next 6 months of recovery might look like for somebody?
Yeah, another excellent question. And I think it really depends on how bad of an infection you had. As you know, that cause asymptomatic infection or a mild infection where you just have sniffles, or a moderate infection where you might start having some chest pain or shortness of breath, to a more severe infection which can make you end up in the hospital on a ventilator. So the amount of time it takes to recover is really dependent on the individual and the severity of the infection. So for most people who have asymptomatic or mild infection, the recovery time is, about a week, as you would expect from any kind of respiratory viral infection. But for people who end up in the ICU getting intubated, they can take weeks to recover, and they can remain in ICU for weeks on the ventilator. So it's very individual and very personal on how much time it takes to recover. But for the vast majority of people, if they get symptoms, they should recover within 7 to 10 days, or at most 2 weeks.
As an infectious disease specialist, are you following the news about, and I'm sure you are, but do you have any opinions about the news stories around treating people with antibodies from recovered persons' blood?
Yeah, so there are two ways of doing it. Either you give them antibodies or you give them plasma, which is a blood transfusion, which you obtain from people who have recovered and use their antibodies to help patients. who currently have the infection. And we have been doing this. We are part of the registry. We are part of the expanded access program, which is run through Mayo Clinic, where we treat patients with plasma. It's more of a safety study right now, so we have been doing it on quite a number of patients here at Sanford. So we have some experience with that. We think it's safe. Whether it's efficacious or not, that's something that we will learn in the next few weeks to months as we gather more data and look at people who have received it and who have not received it and see what's the difference between the two groups.
Do you have any opinions? You know, we talked to someone about this on the air, but I don't think that it was you. Any opinions on people also wearing some eye protective wear in addition to masks?
So for healthcare workers, we do recommend that because you can get the virus inoculated in the eye, and then because of the connection of the tear duct into your nose, it can get down into your respiratory tract. So in our healthcare workers, we do recommend that. But most of the infections will happen by direct contact into the respiratory route and not through the eyes. So I don't know how feasible that is for general population to do that. But healthcare workers who have close contact with patients who do procedures on them or who take care of those patients by giving them meds or examining them or trying to, you know, clean them or giving them a sponge bath. Because of the close contact, we do recommend gowns and eyewear as well. But for the general public, we recommend masks.
Sure. You know, just looking at the positive COVID-19 test results for today that have been released from the Department of Health in North Dakota, we get these at 11 a.m. every day. So I'll just make note of them. We have 13 more individuals in Cass County that have tested positive for COVID-19. We have a daily positive rate that remains at about 1%. There were about 3,800 tests, total tests from yesterday that are in this count. 13 from Cass County, 8 from Burleigh County, 1 from Dunn County. Grand Forks County had 2. McHenry County had 1. McKenzie County had 1. Pierce County had 1. Sioux County with 2, Stark County with 3, and Ward County with 1 case. Unfortunately, North Dakota is reporting 1 additional death from yesterday, a woman in her 90s from Cass County. When we look at those numbers, Dr. Nagpal, we have a good amount of tests that have happened over the last couple of days. You know, we're reporting 3,000, even 4,000 some days tests with daily positive rates that are staying around that 1%. Have we flattened that curve that we talk so much about?
Absolutely. I agree. And I think that's a win. And kudos to the Department of Health for being aggressive with this. And kudos to the nursing homes and our sister healthcare institutions for, you know, all the hard work they have done. The only thing we wanted to achieve was flatten the curve, which means keep the number of cases down to a level that that can be easily managed in the community in terms of not overwhelming the hospital beds or ventilators and our testing capacity or our oxygen supplies. So I think from that standpoint, we have achieved that. Now, what we need to do is just continue to keep the curve flattened, be more aggressive with case finding. And I think we will continue to see the slow burn through the summer where we get a few cases every day. And as long as we can keep it that way, we should be okay. I think at this point in time, it's safe to say that the daily numbers don't matter anymore because you'll see fluctuations up and down every day like a sawtooth pattern. What will become important now is our weekly numbers just to make sure that there is no specific upward trend or a surge or to detect large scale outbreaks if and when they happen. To answer your question, that was a long rant, but to answer your question,
no, it was very informative. It was very informative. We appreciate it.
And Dr. Nagpal, I'm just curious, do you foresee us trying to get these 4,000 tests per day for the foreseeable future, so through the summer, maybe all the way into the end of the year?
So, you know, again, I don't know how we are going to do in the future. Most of the models are predicting an uptick in fall. So I guess we'll be doing more testing during that time. And once the colleges and schools open up, we will be needing to do more tests during that time. But I won't put a hard number on anything right now. I think we are in a good place right now. I think we are doing enough testing now, whether it's 4,000 tests a day or 5,000 tests a day or 10,000 tests a day. I don't want to say I don't want to tie myself to a number that we should be targeting. But, you know, as long as we are reaching out and detecting these cases and making sure there are no outbreaks, and if they do happen, doing additional testing to find the contacts and do the contact tracing, we are in a good place. I think I don't have a defined absolute number which I'm looking for.
Dr. Avishnik Paul is a Samford infectious disease specialist and has joined us here on KFGO. Dr. Nagpal, again, thank you so much for your expertise and your time today. We really appreciate it.
And thank you.